Podcast, weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 258. And I have the privilege to have Brandon Shaver, the head boys basketball coach at Lake Travis High School down in Texas. My second consecutive Texas guest here. They do things bigger and better in Texas, and we're going to do it bigger and better here on a pen and a napkin with Coach Shaver here. But before we get to Coach, we want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or any of your athletes are struggling with balance, neck, or spinal issues, have them go see Cosac Chiropractic. Check out their practice at CosacChiro.com. Follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. I'm always going to call it Twitter. It's not X, it's Twitter. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle to help you get better, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, Spotify, iTunes, whatever it may be, download, rate, review, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, say nice things. It helps us move up in the rankings, so please do that. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me a pen and a napkin at gmail.com. Brandon Shaver, it is 10:23 on New Year's Day. We are both ready to roll here. You have practice. I'm going to sit on my butt and watch football all day. How are we doing this morning, Coach?
Man, doing great. You know, got to spend some good quality time with the family over the break. And so, ready to stay back and get back in the gym.
Yep. Awesome. Well, Coach, let's start this the way that we normally do. For folks that don't know a lot about you, a lot about your basketball journey, tell us about your journey in the game and how you ended up as the boys basketball coach at Lake Travis High School.
I've got a very unique story. This is my seventh year full-time coaching. I've got 17 years coaching through the AAU circuit and summer basketball. We had some life things happen to us about 7 years ago. And we just felt that God had kind of led us into getting into coaching full-time. And I got my first job at Central, which was a little private 1A school in Louisiana. We had 100 kids from K-3 through 12th grade. We were smaller than Hoosier's gym. Like, we had three wooden bleachers on each side. If you wore a size 11 shoe on the baseline, you're out of bounds. You know, like one of those. Like, it was extremely tidy. And I was the coach. So it was like athletic director, coach. And I coached basketball. I coached baseball. I coached softball. I was track. So, like, it was the coach of everything. Was an awesome experience. We let down, we ended up losing several players. When there was a coaching change and some stuff happened at the school, a couple of those players left. So when I came in, we weren't really expected to win much. We won several games that year. And so I was there for a year. And I remember when I was interviewing through the process, I go to a lot of different coaches and clinics and things like that around the country to try to learn. And so what I did is I put together a resume binder. And so I kind of went through it all. And when I went in the interview, I was talking to the people there, and they were like, "Hey, just give us a year." I was like, "What do you mean? I'm trying to get into the game. I don't know what I'm going to do." And so, sure enough, I was there a year. And then a 5A public school out of Longview, where I'm actually from, had called me. Mm-hmm. And so, I was thinking, man, there's no way. I've got 1 year coaching experience to go from a 1A private school to a 5A public school. I was like, there's no way it's going to happen. And so went there, got an interview, did the same thing, the resume binder, interviewed on a Friday. And that usually, 45 minutes to an hour interview turned into like a 4 or 5 hour interview.
Wow.
They took me around the campus. And this was to go from where we were to where it was a college campus. Mm-hmm. I remember my wife is from Louisiana, and she was like, "Well, you can go interview, but I'm not moving to Texas." And so it's one of those things. I was like, "Well," I said, "I just want to get the experience. I want to see what it is." And so went there, interviewed on a Friday, and then Monday they called and offered me the job. And so it was like, it was a crazy situation for us to go from that to where we were, to the 5A public school. Got there, was there 2 years, and it was a COVID year. So my second year there was COVID. So we know that was a crazy year for everybody. And so we'll talk a little bit later on, I guess, about, where our Man Up Monday kind of came from. Uh-huh. But it started during that COVID year. We were in a place, we were in district, one of the best teams in East Texas, and it got to know their coach really well. We had actually competed against each other in high school, and then kind of lost touch, and then got back in together, just communicating through the coaching world. And he ended up taking the Allen job in Texas, which Allen is the biggest school in Texas.
Okay.
And he reached out to me and he was like, hey, coach, you know, this is, it's a great opportunity. You know, would this be something you're interested in? And I was like, man, absolutely. I said, but I don't think, you know, COVID year, I think we ended up playing like 12 games total.
Yep.
And for us, they had pushed 5 and 6A football back 2 weeks, but they kept the basketball season. So that COVID year, we had our football team had the best season ever. And they got beat out on a Saturday. We had tryouts on a Monday and we started district on Tuesday. So it was like, wait a minute. Like there's no way. So, ended up, went there, the interview, went through the whole interviewing process and, ended up getting that job. So that was, again, going to each one is a step up. So it was, we were a year at Central, we were 2 years at Pine Tree, and then we went to Sulphur Springs, and extremely successful at Sulphur Springs. I mean, we were 30 plus wins each season. We went to the regional tournament, which is a regional tournament in Texas is a big deal just because of how big Texas is.
Sure.
And so it's a tough thing to go through and battle through. And so, went there back-to-back regional tournaments, back-to-back district championships. And then, it was crazy. A guy that I had hired when I was my second year at Pine Tree, was my assistant coach. He's like a brother to me. He followed me when I got the job at Sulphur Springs. He followed me up to Sulphur Springs. And we saw on Twitter one day, we were like, the coach of Lake Travis, who we had played him a couple of times in some tournaments and stuff. And we knew that they were extremely talented. We knew, you know, that they, you know, play the game the right way. And he ended up retiring. So his son, it was actually, he's playing third base for the Mets, got called up and he was like, I'm out. And so I was like, I don't blame you. And so I got a call that we saw it on Twitter, which is, again, I call it Twitter. I don't call it X, but yeah. We saw it on Twitter. And then I told Mass, I was like, man, I said, man, it'd be a great job to get. And I ended up getting a phone call that next Monday and they asked if I'd be interested. And one of the things I want to tell coaches is like, man, you never know who's watching or who has connections anywhere. Long story short, went through this process, again, with resume binder, all the stuff that we do, and was able to get this job. And this is one of the, you know, this is the top 10, top 15 job in the state of Texas. And again, it's nothing that I've done. It's just stuff that we do differently in building a program. Mm-hmm. We focus on the entire athlete. We don't just focus on building a basketball player. And it shows on the court. I mean, I got here last year, got this job. You know, we won 30 plus. We were another 30 win season, went to the regional tournament again. First time this school's been nationally ranked. So we brought a lot of stuff to us with an extremely talented roster. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea that going from, you know, in a 6 year span from a 1A private school to one of the top, you know, schools in Texas, is humbling in the first place, because again, when you have great players, they make you look a whole lot better than you really are. And so that's what we've had in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Coach, we added this to the repertoire a few weeks ago. The Karen Self, a pen and a napkin moment. When do you remember the first time you started drawing stuff up on a napkin or a piece of paper that kind of bit you there a little bit?
You know, I was in high school, I was a pretty good player in the state of Texas at a small school. And so I had really thought, and it's like, man, I would like to coach. I just don't know what I'd want to do if I want to get into it full time. I coached we did camps when I was in high school. We were coaching younger teams when we were in high school. Like we had little dribbler programs and stuff like that. But I took a break really from when I stopped playing college ball. I took a break and I went into business, the business side of things. Mm. And when we had my first son, you know, it was like, man, when he got old enough, it was like, I'm going to coach him and see if this is something I'd want to do. And once we got into that, it was like, okay, I want to really do this full time. But it was back in high school when I really started picking up going, okay, this may be something I want to do later on in life.
Yeah. Okay. You talked to, you know, obviously you've bounced around quite a bit, all positive steps, every step that you've taken here. You talked about your interview binder. Let us behind the curtain here to the great and powerful Oz. And what do you got in this thing, man? I mean, you know,
I'll tell you, yeah. One of the things that I don't know. I've kind of picked up pieces from all kinds of people, from all kinds of coaches. You know, and what we've done is literally taken it and, you know, we've done some pretty cool things as far as, you know, culture wise and different stuff like that. But, you know, we'll have, it's about 15 to 20 pages, depending on what it is. Now, I know most people aren't going to read it, but I want them to understand what a detailed program would be. And so it details, like, I'm an extremely detailed person. You know, I've got an Excel calendar that I use every single day of my life. I can tell you back to 2013 what I've done every single day. And so, you know, it kind of breaks that down. It gives you the detail of what, you know, what all the fall, the summer, the spring, all that stuff does. It breaks down the player development side. And then what we've also done is kind of put together where, you know, trying to make it more fancier and stuff like this, where it's like we have QR codes for things that we've done in the past. Like, one of the coolest coaching experiences I've had was when we were at Sulphur Springs 2 years ago. We had a handicap manager that was always at every practice, all this stuff. And for senior night, we suited him up. And one of the coolest things ever was, you know, we suited him up. We had talked to the other team. The team was awesome with it. We tipped off, you know, and I told him, I was like, man, hey, look, Jay, you can shoot a layup. You can do whatever you want to go score. Well, we tip it off. We throw it to him and he hits the first three and drains it. And like, you want to talk about like crowds going crazy. Our bench is clear. Like, we're doing like, and the crazy, one of the craziest things was, is like, Good Morning America. It was like all over the news once it exploded and it happened. Like they all these guys came in, they interviewed him and all this stuff. It was just a cool experience for Jay. And so like we QR coded that. It was one of those things where it's like, hey, they could, you know, the things that we do, again, not just to what are we doing for, you know, an athlete, what are we doing to build a community? Mm-hmm. So we you know, I detail that out in my resume. And really the biggest thing is just being confident in what you do. Mm-hmm. Like we're confident in the things that we know that work. When we build culture, we're building that thing, you know, from the ground up, no matter where we're at. And that's our focus. When I get in that resume binder and I start talking, it's a passion of mine to communicate what we do and the why and the how what we do.
Mm-hmm. How confident were you as you step into this season, where you're not only coaching one of your boys, but you're coaching both of them? I correct me if I'm wrong with the names, Coach. Jackson is the senior, Cade's the freshman. Cade's a sophomore. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You're coaching both of them. Looks like Jackson can shoot it a little bit. Probably gets that from his mother, I'm guessing. What's that experience been like? Sometimes it's the families really, really like it. Sometimes it becomes tough, you know, I guess would be a simple way to say it. I mean, how's it been around the Shaver House?
You know, it's one of the most rewarding things, and it's also one of the hardest things to do. Mm-hmm. You get the side of things as a coach, you know, to be able to see your son develop. Because one of the greatest things that we've seen in Jackson is his development from, you know, his middle school years up to his high school years. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard work that he's put in. He's your typical coach's kid who, you know, he lives in the gym. You know, he's knocking down, you know, shots every day in the gym, getting up a couple hundred shots. Like, and then he takes charges, he plays defense. It's those typical things that a coach's kid does. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest things again for us is, where does that line draw between dad and coach? And I think people who coach their kids is hard to dictate that line. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have done is, and like I said, I don't know if I'm successful at it, I just know it's worked for us, is when we leave the gym, I'm dad. If we set foot in the gym, I'm coach. And it's one of those, like, it's, hey, on the ride home, I'm talking to you as my dad, you know, like as a dad, like I'm not talking to you as, you know, player or whatever that we can do that in the office. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll tell them, I say, look, if you want to talk basketball, you can initiate the conversation. I'm not talking basketball to you unless we're up at the school. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives us a barrier of, I'm not always, you know, talking or griping and complaining or whatever, or, you know, whatever that is at the house, because I'm going, hey, you're my son. More importantly than me, you as a coach, for the rest of your life, I'm going to be your dad.
Yep.
You know, and so I never want a game to be able to, you know, affect our relationship. Mm-hmm. And now, again, we've had hard conversations. We've had things that we got to do. But at the end of the day, it's more important to me to be the dad than it is to be the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the basketball stuff or the football or whatever, you know, volleyball, whatever you're coaching your child in. That's a very short term thing. At the most kids are going to do it through their senior year of high school. You know, if you're lucky, right, they get to go on and do it after that. And then after that, you just get to be dad or mom as you're right, watching your kid play at the next level.
Right.
You know, unless you're Danny Manning back in the 80s where, you know, Ed Manning went from a semi-truck right driver to Larry Brown's assistant. But that's neither here nor right there.
A little bit different back in the
day. Yeah, yeah, just a tad bit. So, it's got to be pretty cool, you know, to also have that extra time with your kids during this, yes, time period where your kids are, you know, getting busier and busier and busier. You're blessed to have that extra time with your child and to spend that with them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we travel to tournaments and stuff like that. So, you know, staying in hotels and different things, we're allowed in to be kids, but at the same time, we go out to eat stuff where normal times, if you're away from your family, it makes it hard. But we include our family in everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like my youngest one is a sixth grader, and he comes up and helps with games, you know, all this stuff, different things at home games. He travels with us sometimes, you know, like it's just one of those things where I want my family to be around. Mm-hmm. I don't coach as an outlet to get away.
Yeah.
I coach so that we can bring families together, which is, again, about building community, not just in my own family, but community inside our basketball team and our basketball family. Mm-hmm. And if I don't model that, then it'll never be portrayed to everybody else.
Yep. Coaches, I am really excited to announce this year's lineup for our 5th annual Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic date is Saturday, April the 12th. It's going to take place at Mary R. Queen Gymnasium, located at 3405 South 119th Street here in Omaha. We've got three on-court demonstrators. Andy King, the head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn North High School, will get the day started with his clinic on developing your team through 5-on-5 controlled scrimmages. Jody Steyer, my good friend from Iowa State University, the associate head coach at Iowa State with the women's basketball team, is going to talk about individual player development in small group settings. Jamie Smith, the head girls basketball coach at Solon High School in Iowa, one of the best I've ever seen, teach about shooting fundamentals, is going to talk to us about how to put together a great shooting workout for your players. Coach Smith won a state championship last year at the Class 3A level in Iowa. Those are three on-court demonstrators. Then we're going to have three off-court demonstrators. Our lunch keynote speaker is my guy Raz Vanderloo, the head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East High School. And also Raz is very involved with USA Basketball. I'm just going to let Raz cook. He's going to talk to us just with a basketball smorgasbord of topics about what Raz wants to talk about that day. Then we're going to have two smaller breakout sessions. Lucas Dollinghouse, the head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock here in high school, highly successful program. He's also an administrator, and he's going to talk about coaching through an administrator's eyes along with some other things. Our other breakout session is weekday Wade Coulter, the head girls basketball coach at Gretna East High School, and he's going to talk about building a pressure defensive system. One of the great things about the Pen and a Napkin Clinic is, in addition to our presenters, we also have two designated breakout sessions where you will get the opportunity to discuss various topics with other coaches attending the clinic. These sessions are a great way to pick the brains of your peers at the clinic, and it's one of the most enjoyable points of our annual clinic. And then, hey, after a long day of learning about hoops, it's time to kick back and relax. We're going to have an optional post-clinic social at Wine 121. It's right down the street from Mary R. Queen, about a mile and a half down the road. I want to thank my friend TK, Tom Crable, for opening his doors to the clinic again. It's just $15 per coach for anybody that wants to join us there. Our Pen and a Napkin Clinic is one of the most affordable clinics in America. I mean, it is really, really, really affordable. You're going to get over 7 hours worth of information. that's $60 for a coach. If you're just a singular coach that wants to come up and check it out, it's $60 a coach. If you bring yourself and another coach from your staff, it's $110. Three coaches from your staff, $150. If you bring four or more coaches from your staff, it is only $45 per coach. We've got a sliding scale. It's all about getting better at an affordable price. So if you are interested in signing up for our Pen and a Napkin Clinic, look to the flyer on Twitter and mail it in. You can scan it in. You can do all those different things, or you can DM me or you on Twitter, or you can email me penandanapkin@gmail.com. Registrations are due by Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. Coaches, do not miss out on one of the best coaching clinics in America. Coach, you put down a few people here for your influences. One of them is a shared person. The way we got to know each other is of course Coach Showalter. But another guy that you put down is the story that all of us as high school coaches would love to live, which is Nate Oates. Yes. You know, going from a high school coach to being, you know, coaching in the Final Four last year. You know, what has Coach Oates meant to your career?
He's been somebody I've looked up to for a long time. I've actually stole a lot of his stuff. You know, as a coach, especially when I was at Central, when we were starting out, you know, you could go back when he was at Romulus and you know, his fundraising stuff, he would steal candy out of his office, you know, so that he could get, to raise money for the basketball program. And so I started that. I would go to Sam's and buy a box of candy and sell it at lunchtime to the kids. And that money goes into the program. So, you know, it just starts with a little bit of things, but, you know, so Coach Oates and I, over the last 2 years, really 2 years, as far as really diving into a relationship with each other on the basketball court, off the court. And I just followed him again. Like you said, he's an inspiration to us all. Cause that's, you know, my ultimate goal is to be able to go to the Division I level, coach college basketball. But again, you know, there's not very many of them that's made that jump and been very successful at it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things that we, you know, what I recommend to coaches is go to the schools, go to the things that you want to be a part of, or you want to mimic, or you want to steal things from. And so we went, you know, I kind of built that relationship with him just through networking, through camps and clinics that I had met him at. He was recruiting one of our guys that was here. And we went to campus. We spent 3 days with him and his staff, last fall. And then just dove into practice, talked to them. That's where I got to know Coach Pannone really well, you know, and their staff, you know, Coach Clonch, which is now at UTSA, you know, those guys who just really, you know, just opened up to us, gave us, you know, access to things. And so what we've done, and one of the coolest things is like, you know, we communicate weekly, just about basketball, about life, different things like that. So, you know, it's one of those that, you know, what I want to tell young coaches is go out and network as much as you can, because if we wouldn't have done all that, I wouldn't have relationships I have with Coach Oates or Showalter or anybody like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you see from Coach Oates now that you've got this you know, personal relationship with him? You know, what has made him different and be able to make this climb that so many of us dream about doing?
I think one of the things is he's just consistent. He's not going to be, you know, he's going to tell you like it is. He's, you know, it's not one, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, coaches go one way or the other as far as, you know, talking too much to kids or not talking enough to kids or sugarcoating things. You know, I think he's brutally honest. You know, and I think one of the things that that's what helps him on the recruiting trail is he's going to tell the guys they play an NBA style system. You know, they brought another NBA defensive coach in. Coach Pannone's an NBA coach, you know, that has NBA ties. And so, you know, those guys, it's one of those things that helps him in that, and to bring in those top level guys that will help them win. And I think with him being consistent that way, I mean, he produced a lot of D1 athletes when they were, you know, when he was at Romulus, which helped him get to that Division I level as a basketball coach.
Mm-hmm. You know, the obviously, and you mentioned it here just a bit ago, you know, you went over to Alabama, did some things with them. We met each other through USA basketball, and you know, you've had the privilege to work some really good camps, John Lucas, Jay Billis, that type of thing. You know, how important is that for coaches to get out, of their comfort zone, to work other people's camps? You know, what are some things that you have taken from some of these camps that, you've had the opportunity to work at, Brandon?
Yeah, what I say, you know, here's what I want to tell coaches and things. It's like, if you're asking your players to get better, what are you doing to get better as a coach? If you're not doing anything, then again, you're not modeling what you want your players to do. And so I spend a ton of time, you know, we're going to clinics, we're going to camps, we're doing all this stuff to learn. You know, I go there to teach, but we can teach the players, but I network through and just really, I want to go so that I can meet as many people as I can to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And I started that early on. I worked at Jay Billis camp every summer. I just completed my fourth summer doing that. And some of those guys are some of my closest friends. Mm-hmm. We may be thousands of miles apart, but we text and talk either every day, every other day, kind of things like that. And what it does is it just gives you a chance to go and meet people that you would never meet. We spent on that same trip that we went to Alabama, we spent the first 3 days, we have a fall break. So we spent the first three days at Texas Tech with Coach McCadlin, which is another guy I really, I respect and looked up to. And, you know, he's an amazing coach, has amazing staff there. And he's moved up those ranks, you know, just as well as anybody, as any other coach in America. And we're going to continue to do that because the cool thing is we did that as a staff. We brought the entire staff with us. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the same thing. So it's not just me going, but I'll bring our high school staff with us. But then, you know, personally, I'm John Lucas does a lot of camps and everybody knows the John Lucas name. He does a lot of camps in Dallas and Houston. And those you get to see, I mean, when I was able to work those, you know, you're seeing the top players in the country. And it's just, it's a cool experience to be able to meet those guys, coach those guys, get to know them, and really just kind of, if you can, share with them a little bit of what they can do better to help coach them. But just networking through it, And then the Team USA stuff is a dream of mine. I was able to work. I've worked two clinics for them across the country. I've been to multiple clinics like every year. You know, I think last year I flew up. We went to the New York clinic. I've been to Dallas, Houston. Been to those, and it's all about just learning. Again, yeah. It's if you think you know it all, then you should get out because this game evolves every day, and so we got to figure out how to evolve with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I agree. Like, and obviously that's what we're doing here with a pen and a napkin, where we're helping people grow, help them getting better. And you've got to do that. You know, we also, both of us, we have organized our own clinics. I got mine going here and I'm sure at some point in this podcast there'll be an advertisement for it. you've got yours going. You know, what are some things that you like to do and look to do with your clinic, Coach? Let's pick each other's brains here as clinic absolutely. Organizers.
Yeah. Well, it was always a dream of mine to help other coaches because I've always got where I was by the help of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so what I always want to do is give back is like, what can I do to help? That's what I always tell our guys. Like, I'm an open book. Anybody that wants, like, again, it's not being cocky or arrogant. I'm just going to show you, I'll give you everything that we do. You know, like, here's our Man Up Monday stuff. Here's our culture stuff. I'll give you everything so that if it helps somebody, then great. So, you know, that's what it's all about. And so this clinic came about when I started thinking I worked at Billis camp for 2 years and I was like, man, it's really developing kind of high school and then college coaches. And I was like, how can I take kind of this model and do it where I'm at? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did this year. This is the first year that we did it. We had, you know, Coach Pannone came in, Coach Pannone, we had Jay Billis talk. We had the UT coaching, the two of the UT coaching staff come in. We spoke about what we do as our basketball clinic, as our basketball program. That's where you get a lot of good information from. Like, you can go to these clinics where there's hundreds and hundreds of people, and you can kind of, you know, take notes and all this stuff. You don't get to ask questions. But here, you know, we modeled it where we had a morning session, then we would go do a camp during the day, then we would have an evening session, and we're, you know, in a lobby, we're in a classroom of a hotel, so that, you know, we can sit and talk. Mm-hmm. You have talk sessions, you have different things, and we had different things that we hit on. Each, I mean, there was about 8 different sessions that we had. And each session was, you know, UT came in and talked about recruiting. Yeah. Jay Billis opened it up and talked to the guys just about what they're, you know, how to grow them as coaches. Coach Pannone talked about offense, you know, and it just, you know, it was a practical hands-on. And like I told all the people that came, like we opened it up. We had a team this year that went 40-0, and our high school 6A program, here in Texas, which is unbelievable. You know, and that guy won national coach of the year, every level of things that went on, like, an amazing, amazing coach, amazing staff. And he came in and spoke, he opened it up and spoke about, you know, again, what did they do? What made them, you know, the team that they could do and be. And so, you know, it just networking with different guys around the country, and then asked to see if they wouldn't mind to give back. And a lot of times those guys will, because they know, you know, again, they didn't get there from nobody helping them out. So they wanted to help everybody else out too.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the best things when you go to a quote unquote smaller clinic, like the ones that you and I put on. I mean, trust me, if more people want to show up, I'm going to take the registration fee. Don't get me wrong, but you know, the intimacy of it, you know, one of the things that I do at mine, shameless plug, is we have a couple of sessions where we just break coaches down into small groups and we throw topics out to them and we just let the coaches talk amongst themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and just, you know, pick an idea. You know, yeah, we have people that come in and they lead discussions and they talk and different things like that. But I think that's something that is so valuable, to just be able to just, hey, let's just, you and I, get out some pens and papers or pens and napkins and let's start scratching this stuff up. And what do you do on your baseline out of bounds defense? What do you like to run at the end of the shot clock? You know, different things like that. And I think that's such a valuable resource, and that's nothing against Jay Billis or Ryan Pannone or Raz Vanderloo or any of the people I'm bringing in this year, but so many times, just having those one-on-one conversations with the people that you're at the clinic with, it's so very good to have.
Oh yeah, I agree. Because again, there's a lot of times you want to ask questions, and if you're in a big clinic setting, you're not asking those questions. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, the goal of ours is just, we want every coach to get, you know, something out of it. We get you 2 or 3 things that, you know, oh hey, I'm going to go back and install this. I'm going to go back and do this. And so, and then also give them, you know, because one of the guys was at our clinic. You know, we do what we call sunrise shooting during the off season, and it's just a shooting workout that kids do in the mornings. And, you know, he would ask questions of, hey, what is this and what is this? And so I'm even after the clinic, I'm sending him drills. I'm sending them things like, you know, it's not just a, you write it down and then, hey, good luck with it. You know, no, you know, but it's, how can I help you? You know, and that kind of helps build that camaraderie of coaches around the state and around the country.
Mm-hmm. As we enter into this holiday season, coaches, you know what would make a great gift for you this year? It would be a copy of Kings of Their Court, the story of the 2020-2021 season here in Omaha, 3 ranked teams in the top 25 in the country. And you're going to hear the personal and professional stories of players like Hunter Salas and Chucky Hepburn, Frankie Fiddler, William Kyle, coaches like Tim Cannon, Josh Ludke, and Doug Woodard. Just a terrific, terrific story, a crazy time period in our country with quarantine, politics, George Floyd, and everything in between. Yours for only $19.99. Go to Amazon, go to books, look up Kings of Their Court, and order a copy of that today. It's going to be a great stocking stuffer for you, for somebody that you love. Tell your wife, tell your spouse, tell your kids, hey, I would love to have a copy of this book and have something to read here and to just read about a great basketball story. Kings of Their Court, available on Amazon.com today. Coach, at this time, we're going to transition here a little bit. It's time for a little John Wooden. Brandon, let's talk a little John Wooden quote of the day. Are you ready, Coach Shaver, for the John Wooden quote of the day?
Come on.
All right. From Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations, the John Wooden quote of the day, and this is from page 142. The players were charged with trying to improve a little each day, trying to get closer to becoming their best. I tried to be honest with them in letting them know they wouldn't reach perfection. But I was also honest in saying that I expected them to give everything they had in trying to reach perfection. That's what we work toward. Let's see how close we can get.
Man, I wish record it and just play that every single day in the locker room. You know,
I don't think your players want to hear my nasally Italian voice every day in the locker room, Brandon.
Here's the thing. I mean, we said it last night. You know, we're going to keep saying it. You know, I wish I would have been able to have a chance to be able to meet him. But, you know, have talked to and been under a lot of guys that have directly worked with him. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he's an inspiration to a lot of us as coaches, even if we didn't get to, you know, read several of his books. But I think that's perfect because you're never going to be perfect, but you want the effort to chase perfection. And that's what we try to get our guys to, like, hey, we don't expect perfection from you, but we want you to excel at trying to, what can I do to get better every day? And what we want to do is try to see, like, okay, people say that, but how do I keep up with something? How do I write it down? How do I track it to know that I am getting better every single day? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the pushes that we do inside of our program.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it comes back from Wooden, just like that quote is.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, tracking is so important, and yeah. and having that, you know, just for you, you know, and I would tell my kids. I mean, some of it, obviously, Coach, you know how it is. It's some of it's on the honor system, but
sure.
But I would also put in that caveat of saying, okay, if you're telling me that you made 10,000 shots this summer, that's great. But when you come in and we start doing stuff in the fall, your shot better be 10,000 shots better.
100%.
If you, I would much rather have you say, Coach, I only made 2,000 shots. I'm not going to be thrilled with that, but at least you're being honest with me. And I know
what to expect from you.
But don't tell me 10,000 when you only made 2,000. Then we've got an issue. That level of trust is
absolutely
really damaged at that point, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree with you because, again, one of the things I say, you know, I'll say to, you know, adults, I say to our players is, again, I don't care what you say. I care what you do. Mm-hmm. What you do shows me who you are. Because, again, anybody can talk. Coach, I want to be the best player. You know, I want to be the best shooter. I want to do this. That's fine if you want to say it, but show me your actions. What are your actions telling me? Are your actions, hey, I'm getting up 250 makes a day. Am I working on, I want to be a better ball handler. Am I actually working on ball handling every single day? And it goes back to the Wooden where it's like, we want people that not just want to talk about doing it, but want to be it and want to chase that profession.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 1,000%. And you are, you know, not only building that, but you're building a great culture. I really enjoyed in preparing for this week, you know, taking a look at your stuff, Coach. You're doing a lot of great things with building your culture there. Service projects, your Man Up Mondays, just so many good things here. This is the part, honestly, I'm most excited to talk to you with here because it's got my brain spinning a little bit. Talk to us a little bit about how you kind of came up with these concepts and what you're doing to implement these ideas with your young men here to develop them, you know, obviously on the floor, but also off the floor and how you put all this together.
Yeah. So it's really kind of pieced together as I've gotten, you know, again, growing as a coach. So going to clinics, seeing what people do, seeing what we want to do. And you know, earlier I talked about Man Up Monday. Some people know what it is. Some people don't. And when we were at a school, back in Longview where, you know, when COVID happened, you know, a lot of kids didn't want to go home. Their home life wasn't as good as coming to school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it bothered me. Like, what am I doing? Like, yes, it's basketball. Yes, it's, you know, I love the game. But what we say is one day, you know, a lot of times we'll get a basketball and I'll drop it. It'll bounce, bounce, bounce. And then it stops. And I always tell them, it's like, one day the game's going to stop. Whether you're in high school, whether you get blessed enough to be able to go play college, you know, or whatever, but it's going to stop. And what we try to get them to understand is, who are you without the ball in your hands? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the idea. When I was sitting in COVID for months of, you know, not being able to do anything, I was like, man, I've got to rearrange how I coach. You know, you hear Saban talking about, you know, being, you know, somebody that's really going to help transform these athletes. And so I was like, look, we're going to do this every Monday. We'll take practice time away to a 10 or 15 minute time to be able to dive in and teach these young men how to be men. Cause the world's not going to teach them that. They're all through social media, all that stuff. You know, the world's not going to teach them how to be a man and how to lead. And so that's what we've done. We've done it. You know, this is, I guess this is year six or seven, I guess year six of us doing Man Up Monday. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're teaching them all kinds of stuff. We're teaching them about leadership. We're teaching them about how to be dads. We teach them how to, you know, change a flat tire, you know, how to use jumper cables. And it's just different things. Like I'll go through, you know, Twitter and different things, or all, you know, clinics. I'm like, oh, I'm going to add that one. I'll get some from movies, you know, like some, you know, we'll do some things like, oh, wait a minute, I watched that. You know, my wife will be like, hey, check this out. You know, different ideas of things. You're like, yeah, that's a great idea. You know? And so just different stuff that we do. And so we do that every Monday, from the beginning of school to the end of school. And so they know, you know, for us, it's right after school. They know it, you know, it's again, 15, 20 minutes. We talk about this and they, you know, they go on from there. So we do that on Monday. Tuesday, we will read a book together in the off season. So, you know, we've done Jay Billis Toughness, which is one I like to kind of go over and over, because it teaches about, you know, not just being tough on the floor, but learning how to be tough off the floor. So we read a book together, and the way that we do that is we separate them into groups, and, you know, each group will present that week. So everybody reads the chapter. They get up in front of people, because we got to teach them how to actually speak in front of people.
Yeah.
Because I think Buzz Williams talks about it the most, where this is the generation that has the most knowledge but cannot communicate.
Yep.
And so we're teaching them how to talk. Like, again, like what's a job interview like? You know, you got to speak in front of people. And so we help that. That's one of those things that we do to help them out. On Thursday, we do team yoga together. So we, as a team, we do it after school. We come up and we, you know, there's, you know, 60 kids in the gym, doing yoga stretches. And so, we'll do yoga together for about 45 minutes. Friday morning, we teach the mental side of life. So we'll go through, we have a booklet that we go through, and on Friday morning, we're teaching them not just about basketball, but the mental side of how to attack the day and how to attack life. Because I think when everybody talks about mental healthness, and all the stuff that's going on with our kids today, and what are we doing to help? Well, this is one of the things I was like, hey, this is something that we want kids to understand, that hey, it's bigger than basketball. And what are we doing to be able to teach them how to handle the mental side and the tough things that life is going to present? Whether they have, when they've gone through something tough, we know that as adults, we know we're going to go through something tough, and how are we going to handle that? Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, so once a month, this has always been a goal of mine, but this is the first, like this is the second year actually of me being able to do it and put it together, is we serve once a month. And so we serve as a team. We want to go out into the community, because what I want to teach our players is this life's not about you. You know, the social media, all that stuff teaches kids that life is about them. You know, how many likes do I have? Who reposted this? Who, all this stuff? Well, we want to teach them that, man, inside of your community, we want you to build a habit in life to go serve somebody that needs help. And so we go once a month, we go and serve the community. And it's been all kinds of different ways, depending on, you know, what we're doing or kind of seasonal stuff. But it's been a great thing, because it helps build that culture for us as a team to go and serve somebody else.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And that's a long week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, that's, we haven't even talked about practice or games or anything like that.
Yeah. We tried to do a lot of the same thing. You know, we did the preseason book. We did a lot of John Gordon stuff.
Yes.
You know, we did, I feel like it's a pretty long list ourselves. We did some service. We did team activities. What does a great teammate look like? What does, you know, our pillars were attack, you know, and appreciate toughness together, you know, different things. And, I took that responsibility seriously as well, of trying to develop these kids outside of basketball much more so, you know. And obviously, like you said, what is your life going to be like when the ball is done bouncing? And that's a big responsibility of ours. And sometimes you get caught up in the day to day, we've got to rebound better, we've got to handle the ball better. That sometimes we lose track of that. And I think, you know, as you become more seasoned and experienced, it's easier to stay focused on, okay, hey, we still need to have those man up Mondays, and this is what I'm really, really here for. Don't you think, Coach?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, because it's easy to lose perspectives. You know, whether you're winning or losing or whatever, how the season flows, it's easy to get caught up in the world. In the focus of what we see today. And I'm not saying I'm great at this. I do the same thing where, you know, but what I want to encourage people that want to start is just start, you know, figure this out. And like I said, I'm an open book. I've sent this stuff that we do out to everybody. So if people want it, they can contact me. I will send anything if they want to, you know. Again, I want guys and coaches, girls, you know, whoever's coaching, you know, whatever situation it is, because we do this with our young team. I coach my young son with the sixth grade group. And we're doing these same things with them, trying to get them to develop and learn at an early age. So it doesn't matter if you're not a high school coach, or you're not, you know, if you're coaching a middle school group, or you're coaching a fifth grade group. These are things that you can implement to help your team out.
Mm-hmm. A Pen and a Napkin University videos are just another way that A Pen and a Napkin can help you become a better coach. Our university video library is constantly expanding, with topics ranging from interviewing for a job to full court defense to 25 universal truths about coaching. Our university videos will help you round out your skill set as a coach and help you hone your craft. Videos are $10 a piece, with bundling options available. To order, you can DM me on Twitter, send me an email at apenandanapkin@gmail.com, or order from our website, apenandanapkin.com. Be sure to check out the A Pen and a Napkin video library. Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Coach, let's talk about, you're doing a lot of unique things with your program. What are some other stuff that you feel like that you do with traditions, different things like that to help keep your kids motivated and stay part of it?
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the things which, you know, is tough with us sometimes, you know, is we will tell kids the truth, you know, but I also, when people say, people will talk about the truth, you know, the truth hurts, but I think the truth helps if you tell it in a loving way. Because there's a way to talk to kids. There's a way to do things that, you know, again, you can come out and just be like, man, you're not very good. You're doing this. Or there's a way of like, hey man, you know, let's talk about this. Let's flip this up. Let's show film. You know, we do one-on-one meetings with our players. You know, we'll do it before the season starts. And then we try to go through about once a month, trying to meet with every player one-on-one. And what I've learned, you know, there's a lot of great books out there talking about culture and how to build things. I'm a reader, which I did not like growing up. I didn't like reading until actually I got into coaching full time. Now I read about a book a month, on average of, you know, during the season, it's a little bit harder, but, what I've looked at is, when we have one-on-one meetings, I send those one-on-one meeting notes to the parents, trying to communicate with them, trying to share with them, you know, what we've talked about, what things, so that a lot of times people, you know, we, everybody's going to have parent issues. Everything's going, there's never going to be a time where it's like, oh, this is 100%. Parents are great. All this stuff. There's always going to be something that goes on, but how do we handle that to make sure we have less parent issues? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we've really started this year. Parents have loved it, because it's like, hey, we're trying to communicate with them and share with them, that it helps to, you know, hey, why is this going on? It helps the miscommunication or misunderstanding of things that happen. And that way it gets everybody on the same page.
Yeah. You know, it's working with the parents. I mean, it's hard. You want to be fair. You and I, are both seasoned and experienced enough now that, you know, you're coaching your kids. My kids went through it in a lot of different ways. And you want to make sure that you do things the right way. You want to make sure that you do it ethically.
Right.
And you want to make sure that they're comfortable with everything. I mean, what are some other things that you try to do to work with your parents and make sure that you're on the same page with them as best as you can?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is we want to include them in a lot of stuff that we do. We don't want to feel like it's parents and then the team.
Yeah.
And I know, again, this is a lot of extra work with coaches that are just getting into it and thinking like, what all, like, yes, it is. But in the long run, it'll help you out because, you know, again, you want to have a great relationship with parents. And so, you know, one of the things that we did, I think it was a cool thing, was when we had a Meet the Cavs night. So we're the Cavaliers. So we had a Meet the Cavs night, which opened up, you know, it was, you know, it introduced our freshmen, everybody up through our seniors with our teams. And before that, we got together and we had pictures. And so it gave them an opportunity. Like, we had our media day before that. And what we did is we brought the parents in. And so they got pictures with their kids. Mm-hmm. Which again, like, I mean, how many parents want pictures with their kids? But we don't ever provide an opportunity to do that. So, I mean, they were funny pictures, whatever they wanted to do. And then after that, they changed and our players kind of took them through a little practice of what we do. Mm-hmm. So they changed into workout clothes. So players are coaching parents. We're all out on the floor. We're talking with them. You know, we're teaching them offensive plays, trying to see if they can go through and run an offensive set, you know, different things like that. Because again, at the end of the day, we want to build a community. Mm-hmm. and not feel like it's two different things going, you know, in two separate directions. So, you know, we try to do that. We have team meals. When we get into our district stuff, we have team meals so that we go to parent, like the whole, like a whole varsity team will go to on a Thursday night, we'll go to a house, and that parents and all that stuff kind of go there and eat together. You know, just different things to be able to, you know, build that community as best as possible.
I love that concept of meet your team night. Yeah. How does that go with the players trying to teach their moms and dads the plays that they're running?
It was fun. It's interesting because, you know, some have played sports before in the past. Some have not. So, you know, yeah, they go to practice every day. They're trying to learn. But it kind of gives the parents a perspective of what goes on and what we do. And so, again, we just want them to laugh. Yeah. We want them to have fun together. And I'll tell you one of the things that we're going to do in February, because we actually have a bye this week. So on Valentine's Day, our players are going to date their moms on Valentine's Day. So we're going to provide an opportunity for them to, we'll have a restaurant, things like that, where they can go. Cell phones are getting set up on the top. You know, players are dressed up, parent moms are dressed up, and they are going to, you know, go on a date with their parents. And again, it's one of those things that you want to teach kids how to treat women. You want to teach kids what it's like to go on a date and not be on a cell phone the whole time. You know, then it also helps connect, you know, how many times do as far as like, I'm used to coaching boys, how many conversations do boys have with their moms uninterrupted for over an hour? You know, where, you know, again, and so we want to try to help facilitate that to, hey, go eat, go have fun, go enjoy this, especially with our seniors. We have a lot of seniors this year. And so we want them to realize like, man, hey, it's about to be over with. You know, in February, they've got 3 months and they're off to college. So, you know, we want to provide those opportunities as a basketball team to help our players and our parents out.
Yeah. And I love that concept of it, you know. I lost my mom very young. I was only 22, and she died suddenly. And boy, what I wouldn't give to have one of those date nights with my mom. You know, one of the last things that we went to a movie together, and you know, that was, I don't know, couple, and I was in college at the time, so obviously it was much more difficult. But I think that's such a cool concept to emphasize that building of a true relationship with the people that you love. I think that's a great teaching point, Coach.
Well, and again, it goes back to, it's more than a game. You know what I mean? Like this is more than just dribbling the ball at the court and making shots. You know, that all of this, hopefully the goal of building the culture of what we do makes us a better team. When we're connected off the floor, we like each other, you know, we serve with each other. We sweat with each other off the floor when we're doing community projects. And then we're coming together, laughing, having fun, so that when we get on the floor, we're more connected.
Yeah. How have your parents responded to these concepts and ideas?
They have loved it. All the stuff, especially like all the feedback that we've gotten is, especially from the senior parents, is, man, we, you know, I haven't had fun with my son in this long. You know, we haven't laughed so much. Even in community service projects, they serve with us. So parents, not just players. So if parents want to come and serve, they come serve with us, you know? And it's like, man, I haven't spent this much time with my son without his phone, you know? And so it's one of those where it's a great opportunity, you know, to get that connection and help, you know, bond that relationship together.
Mm-hmm. Let's go home on this, Coach. What are some ways that you kind of organize your program from the bottom up and the top down? You know, how are you linking your youth programs with your high school program with the youth program? Obviously in most programs, that is the lifeblood, the lifeline is the youth program and linking that with the high school program. So what are some things that you feel like you guys do really well there at Lake Travis to do that?
This is the best place that I've been at that we were able to go from kindergarten all the way up. And I'll tell you what we do. And like in the past, when we were at Sulphur Springs, talking to Coach Cho, you know, trying to figure out how to develop, because we all know AAU system's different than high school and how do we develop kids. Like we started as 3-on-3 league when we were there to help develop. And I have always been a big advocate of developing kids from kindergarten all the way up, because I think that's how you grow a program. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, there's called the LTYA, which is the Lake Travis Youth Association. When we got here, we met with them and we said, hey, this is our idea. How do we make this into a reality? They already had leagues and they had some stuff like that. But we wanted to truly develop, not just play games. We wanted to develop guys. Mm-hmm. And so we put together what's called LTE, which is Lake Travis Elite Programs. And we have teams, we have things that we do. What I love my part of it is I go and help coach the coaches, you know? And so what I do is I put together like, hey, this is stuff that I've sat with Coach Show on and gotten information from him from is, you know, at kindergarten and first grade, this is what they need to know. This is what practices should look like. Yep. This is, again, we don't care that they get a 10-cent trophy. Yep. We care about them developing. We have a stair-step policy of looking at it where it's like second grade and third grade, they should know this. Fourth and fifth, they should know this. They get into middle school, this should be it. And then we put together a document, which is a junior high document that we put out to all of our junior high middle school coaches. Junior high middle school, pretty much all the same thing. Hey, here's our offensive stuff. Here's drills that we do. And we've linked videos to them. We've done some stuff. We put some stuff on YouTube where it's like, if you ever have a question, go back on there, watch videos, watch how we do things like our stretch lines. Our stretch lines are different. How do we do this? You know, it details out of, hey, we don't care in the third grade that they know five different sets. We Right. want them to learn how to dribble, pass and shoot and move without the ball. Yeah. You know, so what are we doing? You know, and so like that's again, like so we've developed that all the way through. And I love being able to come see with coaches and talk with the coaches of those groups. And like I said, I've told them I'll come to practices whenever I'm available, I'll come help. And that has really blossomed here. And we have started this program, and it's been awesome. Mm-hmm. To see the buy-in from the families and you know, the kids that are getting better. You know, we are blessed here. We're a pretty affluent area. So we have some former, like, guys that have played overseas, some European guys that love this process instead of the typical AAU system process.
Yeah.
And so what we have, and we're getting buy-in of, like, hey, we're here to develop your son. That's our main focus, is develop your son. And so we're looking at different stuff and seeing, like, you know, again, I coach a sixth grade group because my youngest son is a sixth grader. And like, we, you know, our emphasis is like, we don't shoot threes. You know, we're doing different things. Like, no group ever plays zone. We want to teach them how to play man. Whether you're up 40, down 40, we're going to teach them how to play. You know, and so it's been a great thing here because we know the athletes that are coming up and the development that are coming up is going to pay off huge dividends in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was, you know, that was going to be my next question. You know, just what's the buy-in been like? Have you had any bumps in the road with the buy-in? You know, how have you handled that? If you have, you know, so forth and so on.
You know, and we fight that with, you know, we have some talented younger players, you know, and we fight the, you know, they got to get exposure, you know, like fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders. And it's like, guys, trust us, you know, like, it's not just me. Like, I can pick up the phone and call a college coach and ask them, hey, are you looking at a fifth grader? Are you looking at a sixth grader? And you know, and some of those guys buy into it and trust us. And some of them are doing their own thing, which is, you know, again, if that's what they think is great, you know, to them, then that's so be it. But what we're telling guys is we want the people who want to buy in, because those are the guys that we can help develop. Because that's the most, and that's what we tell them. The most important thing is not exposure, because with the way that colleges are now, you know, and the way that the recruiting is and NIL and all that stuff, you know, we've got to help get kids to become better basketball players all around. And that's our focus. And like I said, some people are buying, I would say we have a ton of people buying in, which is awesome. We got a few that's not, and that's, We just have those conversations and tell them, say, hey, we've been through it. You know, all our entire coaching staff has played at the next level. So all the guys at our staff are telling them, hey, you know, and the guy that actually runs this program for us, the LTE program, is actually a former Division I a college assistant. And so it helps that guys that are in position that are telling these guys, like, hey, we've been there, we've done that. Here's what we see, and here's how the things that we're helping your kid develop to become the best player that he can.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I think that's such a great luxury for you to have. I mean, you know, that's easy for you, Brandon, I'm sure, where you have the mom or dad that's, again, you know, we didn't win that fifth grade tournament and my kid's not going to go to, you know, Arizona State now. You know, and you get your guys saying, yeah, they don't care.
You know, they don't.
And it's one less thing on your plate as well, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, it is. You know, and like I said, it's, you know, we I've been in places where we've tried to develop this before, but this has been the best place that we've had so far. And again, you just buy into that trust of guy all from the beginning of when we start to where they are year after year. Our goal is just for them to become better basketball players. And you win along the process. Like, we have a sixth grade group that's pretty talented that has won several tournaments, but it's because we play the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're passing, we're cutting, we're moving. You know, even if kids want to play zone, we're not trying to jack up threes. You know, and so they just learn how to, oh, this is how I play, this is how I get better, not dribbling the ball 50 times, you know, trying to do a one-on-one move and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, but again, it's us by all the coaching staffs buying in, all the coaches down below us buying in, you know, getting guys, again, not demeaning. Like, one of the things I tell them is that we're never going to demean a player. You know, you're not going to yell at him like, hey man, my grandma shoots better than you. You know, we can't do that. We're not, if you demean a player, which is, and this is one, I mean, I got from Jay Billis, he'll talk about it all the time. You demean somebody, you've lost them. Especially this generation. It will take you months to gain their trust back. And so you got to learn how to coach. You got to learn how to talk to kids. You know, something we can't coach the way that we were coached. So what are we doing? How do we communicate that? How do we help coaches grow? In the same aspect of how do we help our players grow?
Great stuff, Coach. Great stuff. Love it. Love it. Love it. I got a page full of notes here. Just, just so good. So good. Coach, if coaches want to know more about you, want to pick your brain a little bit, how can they get a hold of you?
The best thing is I'm always on Twitter. Find me on Twitter, link up with me. I'll share anything that I can with that. And then from there, I'll share my number and stuff like that with them. Cause again, like I said, I'm an open book. Anything that they need, they want, just reach out to me.
Mm-hmm. Coach Brandon Shaver, head boys basketball coach at Lake Travis High School in the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State. Coach, thanks so much for coming on this week. Hope you enjoyed your time here on A Pen and a Napkin.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Marty, man, everything that you're doing out there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. If you could hold the line here just a second, got to wrap up a couple of things. Again, yes. Brandon Shaver, head boys basketball coach, Lake Travis High School, Lake Travis, Texas. A lot of great stuff from Coach this morning. Check out his Twitter handle has got so many good things on it. Just a lot of great concepts and ideas. I actually saw him out in the parking lot to showing his guys how to change a tire, which is really impressive. I change my tires by calling Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust or AAA. That's how I get it done. But hats off to Coach for those type of things and all the other things that he's doing here. We, of course, want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, for sponsoring the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at A Pen and a Napkin. Daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle there. Download, rate, review this pod, subscribe. Would love to have people jumping on here. We got a lot of great stuff planned here. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. For Brandon Shaver, head boys basketball coach at Lake Travis High School in Texas, this has been a great podcast. Coaches, I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day.